Newcastle's Hit 106.9 with Nick, Jess and Ducko.
I feel like we need a bit of That's Amore, Dean Martin. We need to get into the Italian vibes because we are about to be joined by an absolute legend of Australian media, radio, TV. This is perfect. Kate Langbrook spent 2 years of her life taking her family, one husband and four children, over to live in Italy just because she bloody hell wanted to. She's now got an amazing book, which I finished last night. It's called Ciao Bella. Six Take Italy, and Kate Langbrook joins us this morning. Buongiorno, come stai, Katie?
Bene, bene, buongiorno.
Oh, thank you for putting this book out, Kate. I feel like it's the modern age, eat, pray, love, and I felt like I was there in Bologna with you and your family. Congratulations on this stunning memoir.
Oh, that is the most beautiful compliment. Let's end this conversation.
Okay.
And we're Kate Langbrook, everybody.
I love the boys. The boys are like, oh, yeah, Jess has read the book. Oh. It's got a pretty cover. I won't be reading it. Is it about war?
There's
an explosion
cover
in the first page, Kate.
Oh, well, there's drama, there's action, there's highs and lows. But I guess, Kate, the big question is, and I'm sure you've been asked a million times, what was that driving force? What was that compulsion that you packed up your life and moved to Italy? Like, it's no small feat.
No, it was an enormous undertaking that, you know, like anything good anyone's ever done in their life, has it ever been easy?
No.
I've never done one thing that's been good that isn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was bigger than we anticipated, but we just kind of had to do it. And once we'd said it out loud to people and they had registered their shock / awe / dismay / jubilation, because there's another seat empty in the, you know, in the merry-go-round of showbiz.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever people's reactions were, then we were like, we just really have to do this. And we wanted to, I guess, have an adventure with our family rather than the grind of our lives, which is probably being a bit dramatic, but it's a lot, you know, a modern life with parenting and working and traffic and children and technology and blah, 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 blah. Mm. So we just wanted to have a circuit breaker. And once we had the idea, we were like a dog with a bone. We couldn't let go of it.
And like heading over to Bologna, I know that you wanted a circuit breaker and a bit of a break from everything. It seems as though you wanted a break from everything but bacon, bringing 5 kilos over with you. Did you think that there would not be bacon over there?
So a girlfriend of mine is obsessed with this as well. You know what? You know they love the pig in Italy. They love the pig.
Exactly.
I mean, they don't love the pig alive. But they do everything with the pig, but they don't do bacon.
Really?
And, yeah, they don't do bacon. Like, you can get it in tiny little packets and it's like maybe called American bacon or, you know.
Right.
But we love to have... I mean, I had a 16-year-old elder son and two other boys and my daughter, and we like to eat bacon. I mean...
Yeah, why not? It
comes in a backpack. It'll get through customs.
Yeah, it's a cured meat.
You can't put mortadella with your fried eggs.
Absolutely not.
You know, it's weird.
Ridiculous.
Oh, I fell in love with mortadella, which I never thought I would either, because it's like saying... I've fallen in love with... I'm a Queenslander. We call it luncheon meat.
Oh, yeah, luncheon meat.
Oh,
yeah.
Devon.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kayla. Yeah, Queenslander Devon as well. We're the same. Yep.
Yeah, but it's got big chunks of fat in it. When you first see it, you're like, what is this monstrosity?
Yep.
And I could not get enough of it into me.
You've got some beautiful photographs throughout the book. And, yeah, that pile of mortadella, that photograph you've included, it looks horrific. It's so gross.
Oh, that giant mortadella, like it's bigger than a person, and they're slicing it. Yeah.
And of course, you picked a hell of a time in the world to move to Italy.
Oh, yeah. You got one good year.
And then beyond COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, what was that like? I mean, that's going to be the most horrifying, isolating, because it was more intense over there for a while than it was here.
Oh, yes. But, you know, we also kind of had no warning about it. I mean, we'd all seen what was going on in China. Remember China?
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
And but had no idea that the next place in the world that it was going to land was Italy in the north where we were living. Like, that was just incredible. And so we didn't really have time to panic, but it was very frightening. But they also said to us at the time, 2 weeks. 2 weeks,
yeah,
remember?
It's always two weeks.
It'll just be two weeks. Yeah. Then you can go back to your favourite ristorante and go out to the piazza and enjoy your Italian life. And then next minute, months and months and months.
Yeah, that's right. So we did that. But as Jess said, we had the one, well, we actually had two brilliant years, even though it seems strange that lockdown would end up being a brilliant year. But we kind of came out after that, after our 4 months lockdown, into Italian summer. And it was like it had never happened. And in fact, I thought, we went down south and we're jumping off cliffs and we're, you know, eating in restaurants and swimming in beautiful waters. And it's, I said to my husband, oh, we have killed a dragon. And he was like, I don't know. He's like you boys. He reads a lot of nonfiction. So he knew, he knew a lot more than I did about these things. And he's like, I think when autumn comes, we may be back in lockdown. And I was like, no way. Pass me that fried calamari.
It's all you and your nonfiction.
The first year we thought, and isn't this funny? And this is kind of like life, isn't it? The first year we thought was going to be the difficult year because it was the year when we arrived and we didn't know anyone and we didn't had to find a house and school and blah 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 and didn't know our way around, and we thought that was going to be the hard year.
Yeah,
but that also in retrospect ended up being like the honeymoon.
Exactly. I mean, when you've got four kids trying to homeschool in a country where English isn't the first language, Kate, I've lost it, the part in the book, but I think you actually tallied up how many meals you had to cook for your family of six, including, you know, the four very hungry boys as well. Was it something like
1,200 meals. I stopped counting.
You stopped counting, yeah.
I stopped counting because I went, this is just, I can't do this and lose.
Exactly. In a land where, like, food is such a big deal, but someone else's nonna can cook it for you. In COVID, it's like, oh, crap, I'm the nonna now.
Exactly. And with the washing and the whatever. And also when we went into lockdown in Italy, we didn't have home delivery. Like, there was no Uber Eats and there was no Deliveroo or whatever. So you couldn't even get takeaway or, like, we were pretty well locked in our house, except to go once a week for shopping, which was supposed to be done by one member of the family, which is me. And in the book I write about when I had a kind of, I brushed up against the cops with it, because I was just, by that point, I was just so done with it. I'm like, one person cannot shop for six people on foot.
Yeah, that's wild.
In a city full of cobblestones.
And in my broken Italian.
On my best bike.
I love this about the Italians, that they were just so respectful of my mother anger.
At that point. Backed right off.
Even if you failed the attitude test with some coppers in Australia, they'd have you handcuffed and la-la and have your Facebook page shut down. But in Italy, they were like, all right, on to your way. And they're like, you go home.
And Kate, one of the bits I loved you mentioning was that Lewis, your eldest, revealed that the reason why he wasn't happy going over, because he'd had a secret girlfriend that he'd been keeping from you.
MJ.
I mean, that's on him. He's keeping it.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Were there any other secrets that had been revealed just by you forcing all four of your kids to go over to Italy?
Well, you know, the three youngest were kind of young enough that their secrets would be like, oh, I ate one of the favourites that you hid in the back of the fridge. Do you know what I mean? like they didn't have secrets on the scale that a 15-year-old boy had, you know? When you really start to emerge as yourself. And we were always like, why is he reluctant about Italy? Like, we've been to Italy before, we loved it, we discussed it for 2 years with the family, we're like, this is what we're doing. But it was like when you see people trying to take their fat dog for a walk.
Just dragging, you know? He's just dragging the chain.
And I'm like, mate, you're in Italy. Look at the girls for starters.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, he didn't fall in love with like an Isabella or something like that.
No, no. And Peter, my husband, and I often discussed it, and we went, would that make our life easier or harder if he did? Like, it would make it easier while we were there, but then when we had to leave, we'd have the whole situation in reverse.
Yes. So did he and his Australian lady survive the 2-year long distance?
Oh, Jess. Okay. So she broke up with him 2 months before we came back to Australia.
So he is a good boy for a year.
He's over in Italy.
A bit. He's turned away all the Isabellas and the Josefinas. And then 2 months before he comes home.
Yeah, 2 months. And she's a lovely girl, by the way. I met her when we came back to Australia and in between. And like a beautiful girl. But I'm like, mate, couldn't you have done this 20 months ago and saved us all a lot of dragging a fat dog around the park?
So then did your fat dog become like a really sad dog and not want to leave the house for those last 2 months?
Or a really horny dog?
Yeah,
of course he was. He had big tears rolling down his cheeks.
Geez, he was romantic.
Yeah, it was so heartbreaking. He took it like an Italian.
passionate. Well, that's what I was going to say, Kate. What have you brought back? I know when my husband and I, we spent 12 days in Italy, but we were like, right, we're really absorbing the Italian lifestyle.
Oh, yes.
If we open a bottle of wine at 4 p.m. on a Wednesday, it's like, oh, it's aperitivo. It's fine. We're about to have a meal. What have you guys brought back that you're like, no, this is the Italianness that is now in our DNA? Yeah.
Well, I tried. There were things I tried to bring back that didn't last, but I still believe that they're inside me somewhere percolating away. But like that when you go out, you look nice for the people that you're going out with for. Like you go into a shop and you dress up because you appreciate what the shopkeeper does for you.
So why would
you go into the shopkeeper's shop looking in your tracky dacks
and your
thongs,
Ugg boots, yeah.
Or whatever, because it's not, you know, it's disrespectful to them. But also the Italians who are just such stylish people and they love beauty so much, not even in a shallow sort of sense, but in a really, it's like, it goes to the heart of the country and the heart of them as people. Mm. That, you know, even if you've got a tiny little cottage by the highway, you'll put a little pot of flowers out the front and a little stone table and put a cloth on it, you know?
Yeah.
When you don't do that, they kind of look at you with pity, but the pity is kind of like, why would you dream so little for yourself? When you have had that experience, you're kind of like, yeah, why do I, when I'm home alone, crack a mini tin of Serena tuna and eat it in bed with a mini can of Coke?
I mean,
why do I treat myself so badly?
Well, Kate, you're barking up this tree. Jess eats her buttered chickens in bed.
I lay a tarp down, Kate, so I don't get the sheets dirty.
Jess, I'm a massive fan of eating in bed.
Oh, isn't it so luxurious? Oh, I feel like the Italians would get around that. It's luxury.
Oh, no. There's some things. That's why there's shutters on the windows. There's something you just have to block out.
Yes. I'm never doing a messy bun again, Kate. Or we're going to put a bit more effort
in. Dress up to the shops.
Yeah, just go to the shops to come into work.
I'm not wearing my PJs to Green Hills anymore.
No, you're not. You're going to put a suit and tie on.
Not schluffing down to the Sieve.
No.
Licking me ice cream and me stubbed me toe because I'm wearing me thong.
Well, it's very entertaining. The book Ciabella 6 Takes Italy, available now from all bookstores. Kate Lanebrook, it is always so much fun having you on. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, lovely ones.
Oh, buona giornata, Kate. Oh. Grazie mille.
What does that mean?
Have a good day.
Buona giornata.